you're one who believes that Jesus is physically going to return someday in the future, prepare to be mocked, according to Jude. This is Dr. Fred, and you're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, and thank you for joining me once again. This is Dr. Fred. You've tuned into Study, Grow, Know. Last time, we began discussing the concept that Jude speaks about when he talks about the fact that in the last days, people will become mockers. They will mock the idea. They will ridicule and make fun of the idea that Jesus is physically going to return one day. We also talked about 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 10 through 16, and we referenced 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, where Paul details the difficulties that would exist in the end times, and Peter describes, as does Jude, the type of individual who will be alive at the end times, who mocks the return or the idea of the return of Jesus Christ physically. Now, there are a lot of people in this world who do not believe that Jesus is going to return physically, and unfortunately, a number of them are in the Christian movement. They call themselves Christians. They're well known throughout the world. I'm not going to mention any names. I don't need to. I'm sure you can think of these people just as quickly as I can tell them to you. But the reality is this: there are people who call themselves Christians and who may in fact be Christians who deny that Jesus is going to return physically. They say that he has returned spiritually, and he did that a long time ago. And they say that he's ruling the world now. Well, the truth of the matter is that's kind of, I don't know, insane in light of the conditions in the world. And it doesn't help then when we have people also from Christendom who step up and say that Jesus is going to return on this particular day. And then when that doesn't pan out, the world laughs. It doesn't help. It doesn't help. Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour. Those times, those seasons are in God the Father's hands. So the reality is that people do not believe that Jesus is going to return physically. And for those of us who do, well, it's easy enough for us to be ridiculed because of that. But again, there are leaders within the emergent and postmodern church who mock the idea, who ridicule the idea that Jesus is going to return. They believe, rather, that as Christians work to create a better society, Jesus will then gain more of a foothold over the entire earth, and the earth will be slowly, consistently more of what it is meant to be. But again, that's kind of ridiculous if you consider the fact that throughout the world, Christians daily face persecution. And you may be one of them. You may be in part of the world where your faith is tried. You are being persecuted. You are being tested solely for the fact that you are a Christian. Maybe you were an atheist before you became a Christian. Maybe you were some other religious persuasion before you became a Christian. But now, as a Christian, you face persecution. You don't see the world getting better. You see the world becoming more antagonistic toward Christianity. Now, here in America, for those of you who are not here in America, there is something else that we deal with as Christians. There isn't this blatant, open form of persecution that some people in other parts of the world are experiencing and on the receiving end of. For instance, some people lose their homes, their churches get knocked down or burned to the ground. They themselves, because they're Christians, are beaten, spit upon, imprisoned. We don't have that here in America, thankfully, but the reality is we still suffer a type of persecution. And the persecution usually comes through the form of laws or politicalization. So we are not allowed, for instance, to pray on a street corner or in a courtroom. We had to take the Ten Commandments down from the classroom. We can't do a lot of things. We can't say a lot of things because supposedly it's against the law. But the reality is all Christians around the world are being persecuted, and many, unfortunately, are being persecuted to death. So ask those people, is the world becoming a better place? Obviously not. Well, this type of thinking, as I mentioned, that the world is becoming a better place and that eventually Jesus is just going to spiritually control the entire world, it's really asinine if you think about it. We have seen countries collapse and need bailing out through the European Union. We've experienced the many unprecedented deaths and destruction caused both by man and because of the many natural disasters. Think about Japan and the huge earthquake followed by the tsunami, followed by the North Mainland destruction and the nuclear fallout because of that. Beyond all this, we've got this hateful rhetoric that continues to spew surrounding the situation in the Middle East. And there doesn't seem to be a plausible end in sight. The world, to a great degree, now stands opposed to Israel, like never before in recent history. People are becoming exactly as Jesus, Paul, Peter, and Jude described for us. Yet millions simply don't see it. And too many of these people are in churches. And that's the very unfortunate part. They dutifully hold to their wishful thinking that one day the church will have such an effect on the world that the world will become a much better place, as if wishing for that is going to make it so. This is in spite of what God says about what he is doing now and what he will do in the end. According to the Bible, this world will not get better by itself any more than evolution is a fact. I don't believe evolution is a fact. And the world is not going to get better all by itself. We are seeing more instances of greed, more avarice, more hatred, more war, more skirmishes, and more rumors of war throughout the world than ever before. The world is not getting better. It is getting far worse, just as the Bible predicted. When they aren't mocking those of us who believe that Jesus is going to physically return to this earth one day, they're accusing us of wanting the world to get worse. One radio show host and well-known figure on the radio and on the internet, who also happens to be a preterist, and he's one of those individuals who believe that Jesus returned spiritually in AD 70 when Jerusalem was destroyed, and that Jesus is not ever going to return physically on this earth. He's one of those individuals. But he accused me of wanting the tribulation to happen so that it would destroy the Jews. Therefore, he accused me of being anti-Semitic. But that's nonsense. First of all, I do not want the tribulation that the Bible teaches about to occur. But I believe that the Bible teaches it will occur. Second, I do not want the Jews or anyone to be extinguished. I don't want their lives to be taken from them. And even though the tribulation will be terrible, and multitudes of people will die, including Jews, God will reserve for himself a remnant of Jewish believers. This final remnant will be the ones who, as the final remnant, the final nation of Israel, will inherit the full scope of land that God originally set aside for the Israeli nation. And he did so with Abraham, the patriarch, and then through Isaac, and then through Jacob, and then through the 12 sons of Jacob, who became the 12 patriarchs of the nation of Israel. And from them came the 12 tribes. Now, mocking, ridiculing is generally done when the individual has no serious answer or rebuttal to something. You ever notice that? You say something and somebody can't respond backwards to you, so they just start making fun of you. They start ridiculing you. They give you sarcasm or ridicule, and it's used in place of a solid response. Unfortunately, and I hate to admit this, I've been a bit guilty of this myself. While sarcasm, though, has its place, as a rule, it shouldn't be used as a regular form of discussion or rebuttal because it accomplishes nothing and it does not further the conversation. All it does is get people angrier. That's all it does. When I'm mocked or scorned because of my personal belief that the Bible teaches that Jesus will return one day to set up his millennial kingdom, which is his kingdom that will reign physically for 1,000 years on this planet, and he will reign from David's throne. If I'm mocked, ridiculed, and scorned because of that belief, I cannot take it personally. I have to merely understand from Scripture that this is going to be the norm for these times, because God is not only giving people over to themselves, as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1, but he is sending them a strong delusion so that they will believe the growing lie. And Paul also talks about that in 2 Thessalonians 2:11. This is simply the way things will be, and I had better prepare myself for it, or I will be overcome by it. Now again, Jude is taking the time to remind his readers that in the end, mockers People who ridicule will come, and they will scorn and ridicule everything that authentic Christians hold dear. And this is taught in the scripture. We shouldn't be surprised at this. The reason these individuals do this is because they are following their own lusts, and their thinking is darkened. They want no part of God. They want to do what they want to do and live their life their way without having to feel as though they answer to anyone other than themselves. They pretend and kid themselves that they're really doing God's work. These people ridicule because the truth gets in the way of fulfilling their true lusts, what they really want. They will often become angry at people like me or you who believe that when Jesus said he will return and every eye is going to see him, we believe that's what exactly is going to happen. They think that that's hilarious. I believe that his return is going to be seen, just as he said, like when lightning flashes from one end of the sky to the other. And if you've ever been in a thunderstorm where there's huge lightning strikes, you know what that means. You know that the sky for an instant looks like daylight. That's what Jesus was talking about. And he wasn't making it up. He wasn't speaking metaphorically or in allegorical terms. He wasn't using figures of speech. He was saying, this is the way it's going to be. When I come back, every eye will see me. And he's talking physically there. This is what Jesus said. So to not believe that is to do nothing less than call him a liar. How can I do that when I know that Jesus is not a liar? In him, there is only truth. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, the Son. He's the way, the truth, the life, the truth. There's no lie in him. Now, mockers believe that the idea of Jesus returning physically someday is what myths and fantasies are made of. And by believing this, we are ignoring our own responsibility to help make life on this planet a better place. That's what they say. Ultimately, people who ridicule my beliefs that Jesus is going to return physically, they believe that things like environmental groups and peace groups are what will, in the final analysis, bring this world to the point where God wants it to be. This is bunk. This is garbage, in my opinion. It's fine to be good stewards of the resources that are on this planet, but God does not want us to worship this planet, and he has already told us this planet's days are numbers, and he will destroy it. He will then create a new heaven and a new earth. God has given us his plan. He has told us beforehand. And we have a choice to believe that or not to believe it. For those who mock and ridicule, the truth bothers them because it intrudes on their particular plans and their worldview. They don't want people preoccupied with something as fanciful as Jesus' second coming. They want people to focus on them, so that they will get done what they want done. This is the apostate Jude is warning us about. Those who ridicule us do so because they themselves do not understand the fundamental truths of Christianity. Jesus said he would return physically. The angels in Acts chapter 1 said he would return physically. What more do we need? What more do we need? Either the Bible is true and it says one thing, or it's not true and it says nothing. I hope you've enjoyed today. We're going to continue on with Jude in our next broadcast and after that. In the meantime, I really thank you so much for joining me today. And I pray that God will bless you richly. And if you're in the midst of physical persecution, my prayers go out to you today. Be faithful, be strong in the Lord. He fights your battles for you. Hi, I'm Dr. Fred of Study Grow Know Ministries. And besides my weekly radio program, I've written numerous books and commentaries specifically geared for the average person. My books cover a variety of theological topics like prophecy, UFOs and aliens, and even current political issues. You can find them on Amazon.com or through our website, studygrowknow.com. That's studygrowknow.com. Regardless of the subject, I offer a biblical conservative perspective on these and other subjects. So please join me, Dr. Fred, with Study Grow Know Ministries on this radio station every week and look for my books. We cover issues that are important to you.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.